Chapter 5.
Another Monday. Charles lay stomach down on the massage table, trying very hard to be properly appreciative. After all, his new therapist, a young man named Sean, was both skilled and polite, and his fingers were currently working some magic on Charles's shoulders. His care had continued without so much as a pause since that awful morning 2 weeks ago. Really, he was very lucky. But all he could think about was the fact that Eric wasn't here. How stupid he'd been. Since that first day, he'd asked himself whether part of his crush on Eric wasn't just part and parcel of the whole massage therapy experience. Whether, in his loneliness, he hadn't simply fallen for the first person to touch him in far too long. Now he knew better. Sean was fit and handsome, probably straight, but that wasn't a turnoff per se. And yet, Charles felt nothing for him but abstract gratitude. That electric anticipation before Eric's visits, the way Charles had melted beneath Eric's hands, that hadn't been mere vulnerability. It had been chemistry, raw and wild and all too volatile. "See," he thought angrily to Eric in his head, an ever-changing figure who was tantalizing and infuriating by turns. "I'm not just some helpless patient. What I felt for you was real." These things had to be said to the imaginary Eric, because the real one hadn't bothered to call. Since Eric was the one who needed to apologize, profusely, his silence had first angered Charles, then bewildered him, and finally crushed him. What a fool he'd been to hope. Sean finished with a few smoothing strokes down Charles's back. "How's that feel?" "Much better, thank you." As Charles pushed himself upright, Sean set about packing up all his gear, except for the mobile massage table. He tossed Charles his clothes, which, by now, were easily enough wriggled into from a seated position. While Charles did this, Sean said, "Listen, I'm going to go to the doorway, okay?" "Okay?" Sean backed to the threshold of the door and said, "See, while I'm in this room with you, I'm your massage therapist. Once I leave, I'm back to being Sean, right?" This was peculiar, I guess. With that, Sean half jumped over the line of the door, and instantly his demeanor changed. "Dude, you have got to call Eric. Unless you hate him, I mean." Charles could only stare for a long moment before saying, "Call him?" "Yeah, he's moping. Not like other people mope, either. Like, most people's moping is Eric's normal, you know? Eric's moping is ungood. To the extreme." And just like that, Charles was worried about Eric. Hurting for him. And horribly, selfishly glad. Because Eric's pain was the mirror of his own. Proof that something real had happened. Or nearly happened, damn it. "I'd thought he would call me. I mean, he should call me." Sean did that little leap again over the door jamb until he was back in the bedroom. Instantly more businesslike, he said, "Any therapist who discontinues working with a patient due to interpersonal conflicts can no longer initiate contact with that patient." Another leap and he grinned. "I memorized that from the manual. But you get it, right? He can't call you, or it would be like he was harassing you." Then Sean became more serious again, without bothering to jump back into the room. "Which, if that's how you feel, like if you want to file a complaint or something, Eric's my friend, but you're my patient, and I don't want to file a complaint. Eric didn't do anything wrong." "Okay, I didn't figure. He's not the type." "No, he's not," Eric tried so hard to walk the line, to discipline every moment of his life, even a first kiss. So, if you want to talk to the guy, the ball's in your court. Then Sean clapped his hands together and came back to Charles. Let's get you back in that chair. For the next couple of hours, Charles fretted, brooded, lots of verbs, all of which could describe the experience of staring down at the contacts list of his phone and watching Eric's name glow back at him. It wasn't that he was wondering whether or not he'd call. Obviously, he was going to call, but what was he going to say? The first time in almost 2 years I'd felt like a complete man again, and you treated me like a child. I dream about you kissing me every single night. I dream about kissing your open mouth. You should have known better. You shouldn't have let us go one step down this path. I should have known better. I shouldn't have put you in a position where you couldn't win, no matter what you did. Finally, Charles sucked up his courage and hit call. Eric answered on the second ring.
Hello?
The soft, cautious tone of his voice told Charles he'd looked at his phone screen and knew just who was on the line. Hi, Eric. It's me. He thought he'd decided what to say, but apparently not. So Charles bunted. I probably should have called before.
Charles, I'm so, so sorry about the other day. I never meant for that to turn hurtful or weird. I hate that it went so badly.
Over the past 2 weeks, Charles had composed any number of withering responses to various feeble apologies. But Eric's words gentled him so quickly. God, it was like melting. Same here. I shouldn't have assumed you didn't know what you wanted. No, you shouldn't have. He swallowed hard. But I overreacted. By say a power of 50. There was an awkward pause, only a second or two long, but those seconds felt like they contained every single possibility for them, all jumbled in together. Then Eric said, Could we talk about this? In person, I mean. Yeah, I'd like that. Tomorrow night? Eric sounded so eager, so hopeful, which made it both a pleasure and pain to reply, I've got to meet with the TAs about exam week tomorrow evening. Oh. Did Eric think he was being brushed off? If so, he soldiered on. Well, Thursday night, maybe? That way you wouldn't have to make an extra trip into the city? I'm sorry, but I'm busy. I suppose I could work you in for lunch if we made it fast. No, on second thought, I really haven't got an opening until August. Or could you come here now? As in, right this second? Charles cleared his throat. Thursday night could work. Charles had known that Eric would choose a restaurant that was wheelchair accessible, but beyond that, his expectations were low. The menu was likely to be heavy on wheatgrass and soy, which was the kind of thing that didn't set a great tone for an evening. Instead, he rolled into a steakhouse, all leather and oak and deep green paneling on the walls. Jazz was playing and the lights were low, and Charles's heart sang, because this was definitely a date. It's not a date, he told himself sternly. It is, at best, a pre-date, opening the possibility of a date, if that's what you want, which it might not be, because you clearly both have some unpacked baggage. And oh God, there he is, and he looks amazing. He'd never seen Eric wearing anything but the aqua Medmobile shirts or swim trunks, both of which were delightful to see. But there was something about the cut of his slacks that exaggerated the unreal taper of his waist, and the black turtleneck outlined him just right. Hi, Eric said. They've got our table ready. Instead of a romantic back corner, they were fairly near the door, which were the demands of wheelchair accessibility. But they had enough privacy for it to feel intimate, and the waiter lit their candles as soon as Charles had himself adjusted. The moment the waiter was gone, Eric said, "You look great." "Oh, this?" He shrugged dismissively, as though he hadn't spent an hour matching jeans to blazer to shirt to tie. "I meant, well, that, but not just that. You've been doing well." "I've been lying around watching Say Yes to the Dress marathons and eating Cheetos by the handful." "I've been okay, I guess. But you look terrific. That turtleneck is... it's... very good." Was he about to be ridiculous? Charles switched gears as fast as he could. "Hey, you had your certification exam, right? For the water therapy?" "Yeah," Eric grinned. "I passed." "Of course you passed." Charles felt himself grinning in return. He hadn't realized he'd feel so happy on Eric's behalf. "I'm glad." "And I appreciate the help," Eric said, then stopped himself. He almost visibly relaxed. "I meant to say, it was easy to concentrate when I was working with you. It wasn't even work." Charles' inner voice said, "Would you drop the bullshit and admit this is a date?" Yet still, inside, he held something back. Although difference to Eric's feelings and his own drive back to Westchester County meant that they ordered sparkling water to drink, Charles chose his meal with abandon. A sirloin cooked medium rare, baked potato with butter, creamed spinach. He fully expected Eric to get the most joyless offering on the menu, but instead Eric said, "I'll have what he's having." Eric raised an eyebrow. "You eat red meat? Dairy?" "Once in a while, when I let my hair down." Eric's smile was too tight now, but he was trying. "Which I ought to do more often." "Hey, I didn't mean... you can live your life how you want. You don't have to apologize for being healthy." That wasn't quite what Charles meant, so he tried again. "You don't have to change." "But I did change. I wasn't always... I used to..." Eric breathed out sharply, and that stiffness was creeping back into their conversation. "I don't want to drag us down. Forget it." At that moment, one thing became very clear to Charles. Either he and Eric were going to keep tiptoeing around each other's issues all night, and maybe they'd call it a date, or maybe they wouldn't. But they wouldn't actually get any closer than they'd been as therapist and patient. Or they could dig it all up, all his crazy and Eric's too, and it would be just about the least sexy evening ever. But he'd finally know who Eric was, and Eric would finally know him, which probably meant Eric would run screaming for the hills, and yet... "I'm sorry I reacted like that the other day." "Euphemisms now, seriously?" Charles tried again. "When we kissed. I hated that you saw me as a patient, but I was still your patient. I didn't mean to make it seem like, I thought you didn't know your own mind." "But you weren't sure. I wasn't either. That was part of why I lost it, you know?" Charles felt as though his face must be flushing, and he kept staring at the flickering candle between them, unable to meet Eric's gaze. "I knew I cared about you, but I also knew you were... that you were the first person who'd kissed me in about 2 years. And that's... I guess it's powerful." "No, it is powerful." When he looked up, Eric had hardly moved. And yet his posture and expression no longer seemed forced. "You mean you weren't sure if you were genuinely interested or just Lonely? No, I mean I was genuinely interested, and I was lonely, and it made me so scared about screwing things up that I screwed things up. It feels like I did it on purpose. I pushed you back so I wouldn't have to be scared of you pushing me back. Why did you think I'd push you back? Charles really, really didn't want to admit this next, to Eric or to himself, but it was long past time to get it out. Because I lied to you.
What?
When we met that first day, you asked about, sexual function, and I said I was okay. And in paraplegic terms, I am okay. But that's not the same. It's so incredibly not the same. The whole time I've been getting to know you, I've been asking myself how I could make love to you. And I still don't know the answer. We were kissing, and we both wanted more. And I had to face the fact that. Hold it together. Hold it together. Your voice shouldn't shake. Just try. That I was going to disappoint you. Hey. Eric's voice was soft. Charles, you know I'm aware. You've studied, and you're a professional and all of that. I know. But it's different when it's in your bed. Eric leaned forward then, the candlelight softened the planes of his face. You're not the only one who'd been wondering how we'd make love, okay? No matter what the situation is, we can find a way. Charles wanted to believe that so badly, but he couldn't.
You say that now.
I mean it, Charles. I can handle it. Maybe it was true. Maybe. Neither of them could really know until they tried. Charles couldn't bring himself to say that out loud, but he leaned forward a little too, trying to relax, to at least be open to the possibility. Their meals arrived, and for a moment, Charles simply relished the relaxation of small talk and the sight of Eric eating something that was both delicious and not wholly good for him, but he needed to keep going. Eric?
Yeah.
Did you become interested in me? Was it because you needed someone else to take care of? Because Eric could have anyone, anyone. He was gorgeous, intelligent, articulate, compassionate, and a gay man in Manhattan with a body that seems to have been sculpted by Praxiteles. In Charles's experience, nobody like that was any more alone than he wanted to be. Also, in Charles's experience, guys in wheelchairs might as well have been draped in sexual invisibility cloaks as far as the rest of the world was concerned. They weren't an obvious match. They weren't even a stretch. They were a cosmic accident, an unbelievable stroke of luck. And Charles didn't really believe in luck. Eric weighed that question for a long moment, then said,
At first, honestly, I think that was part of it. Maybe that's how it began.
That stung. But Charles had asked, and at least Eric had told him the truth. Wasn't that the most important thing? Yet his brain kept replaying it over and over. That's how it began. How it began. Someone else to take care of. Eric continued, That's not the whole reason I fell for you, though. I mean, I work with a lot of paraplegics, you know? Other people with other needs, including other gay men, but I didn't fall for any of them. Only you. The words fell for you flowed over Charles like sunlight. He couldn't eat, couldn't think. Couldn't look away from Eric. And yet, they didn't totally drown out the whisper of someone else to take care of. In the beginning, I mostly liked your attitude. You were determined and positive, but you were realistic too.
That was the balance I always wanted to find with Mom before, and never did. Am I benefiting from the very odd turn of the Oedipus complex? Charles wondered, but he kept listening. But I also liked, you know, you're funny. Sometimes or on purpose? See? And you have these amazing blue eyes. Seriously amazing. And as much as I hate to sound like some guy cruising the clubs, your mouth is... Eric's voice trailed off, and he was no longer meeting Charles's eyes, but instead looking at his lips. Distracting. Charles had, in fact, heard similar lines about his mouth many times that did not make it unpleasant to hear it again. Then there was that time we talked about your accident and the fact that the drunk driver wrote you, and we wound up talking about my mother, too. And you said your anger could turn the world to ash, but that wasn't the world you wanted to live in, remember? He would never have dreamed Eric recalled the exact words. Yes, of course. That's the world I live in. Eric looked down suddenly, which was the first time Charles realized Eric was fighting equally as hard for control. And I hate it. I fell in love with how you see the world. Then I fell in love with you. Charles reaches across the table. Eric took his hand. For a few long moments, they just sat there, holding hands and smiling at each other. And probably looking like idiots, Charles thought, but damned if he cared. When he finally spoke, the only thing he could say was, "You know I'm in love with you too, right?" Eric's fingers tightened around his. "I'm glad, but..."
Why did there always have to be a but?
"I want to be good for you, and my life is so... fucked up and empty." That confession had cost him, Charles could see. "You said I didn't have to change, but I want to. You deserve that. You need that." Still trying to take care of him. Someone else to take care of. And yet, they were in love. That had to matter more, didn't it? Charles felt like too many things were going on at once. Like he had so many emotions, his heart had no chance of holding them all. He didn't know whether to be happy or to despair. He didn't know if they should go for it or back away from each other's issues, slowly and carefully, before alerting the bomb squad. Their stakes were getting cold. "What were you like?" Charles blurted out. "What?" "You said you weren't always so serious. Before your parents' accident, what were you like?" Eric shrugged. Still, they hadn't let go of each other's hands. "I was never one of those club guys. Well, maybe an undergrad. Okay, definitely an undergrad. At least the first couple of years." Charles had to smile a little. "I can't really see you in glitter." "Never. I did go through a brief eyeliner phase, though." "Okay, that was a very, very good mental picture." "Wild and crazy." "More like crazy about the wrong guy. He liked the clubs. I tried to like the clubs. It was never really my scene, but I used to enjoy dancing." "God, what else? I was in a gay running group, and I used to like to go upstate on the weekends to hike, maybe once or twice a month. And I really, really wanted to do some traveling when I finished with my master's. Everywhere, really. But Japan, that was first on my list. My boyfriend hated traveling, and especially didn't see the point of Japan. But I was working on him. Well, all that fell by the wayside after the accident." Jealousy swelled within Charles so fast and so sharply that it took him aback. "Wait, this guy you've mentioned, it's different guys, right?" No, just the one. I mean, I dated other men, but he was the only one who... the only one I've mentioned. But the clubs, that was undergrad. Eric had been in his mid-30s, and he'd only split from this man a few years ago. You went that far back? Farther. I was in high school when we met. He was a grad student doing tutoring on the side. My parents thought he was doing me so much good. Later on, of course, they figured it out. A grad student would have been at least 22 or 23. Charles frowned, and Eric laughed. You just did the math, didn't you, Charles? Listen, I was 17. I knew what I wanted. He was 100 different problems rolled into one, but he wasn't a predator. Their hands disentangled as Eric flexed his shoulders, trying to release old, deep-rooted tension. He did, however, get very used to making all the decisions. Used to me as someone with no responsibilities, no life beyond him. And you know, sometimes I didn't have any life beyond him. I let him get away with that for a really long time, which is my own fault, I guess. Eric's ex had called all the shots. He'd never been someone Eric needed to take care of. It would have been the other way around. Those thoughts flickered in Charles's mind. Small, petty complaints about his own insecurity bounced off his fears about sex, about everything. He gazed at Eric, this powerful, even, polished man who was, in his own way, as vulnerable as Charles was himself. Okay, Eric says. Enough about him. I mean it. If you're worried that I'm not over him, I am, completely. I know that, and I'm glad. Charles turned his hand over, inviting Eric to take it again, which he did. Their fingers laced, flexed, wove apart and together once more, first for reassurance, then for pleasure. Their gazes locked, and after a few long moments, they each began to smile. Charles felt as though he'd never flirted with anyone before, that he was more nervous now than he'd ever been since the first time he ever realized he was going to have sex. Eric murmured, "Am I forgiven?" "Yeah, am I?" "Nothing to forgive," Eric said. "So, are we going to try this?" Charles felt as though his grin should have lit up the entire restaurant. "Oh, yeah." "Charles, if you want..." Eric's eagerness seemed to flow from him into Charles, electrifying their touch. "I live not that far from here, a few blocks." For a few moments, they remained locked there, unable to look away, hardly able to move. Eric finally said, "Come home with me." "Oh, God. Oh, God! Oh, God!" Charles took a deep breath. This was the scariest part of all, but he knew now what he had to do. On one condition. "Okay. Yeah, okay. Anything. What is it?" Charles leaned even closer to Eric. They were now as near to one another as they could be with the table in the way. He murmured, "When we go to bed together, you're not going to try to make me come." That wasn't what Eric had been expecting, obviously. It was the very last proposition Charles would have ever dreamed of making once upon a time. But times had changed. Eric said, "But there are things we could try." "I know, but not tonight. I'm not ready. Logistically, emotionally, any of it." Charles squeezed Eric's fingers. "Before we go there, I have to know I can satisfy you, that you can be happy with me just as I am. Because, Eric, we both have to face it. Most of the time we have sex, I'm not going to have an orgasm. That's my reality. If you're with me, It's going to be your reality, too. You mean, I let you. That feels selfish, Charles. I want to make love to you, completely, for both of us.
I want that, too, Charles whispered, and I hope to God we get there. But tonight I need to know that you can handle this, that I can, too. We have to be okay with it.
Eric kept struggling. I am. I just don't see why we can't try.
I told you. I'm not ready.
Their eyes meet, and Charles continued. You have to let go, Eric. You have to stop trying to take care of me.
But you know what I think? I think 7 years ago, when you needed to be taken care of the most, your worthless ex walked out, and you haven't trusted anyone to take care of you ever since. But I will, Eric. I can. I want to because I love you.
By now, they were both almost completely overcome. Eric's thumb brushed along Charles's palm, sending delicious shivers throughout his body.
I love you too.
So take me home. Let me take care of you. For a long moment, Eric neither spoke nor moved, and Charles began to wonder if he'd gotten this wrong after all. But then Eric raised his hand, motioning for the check. Between the crowds on the sidewalk and the occasional sprinkle of rain threatening a future cloudburst, Eric and Charles were mostly concerned with getting to Eric's place as soon as possible. Only when the elevator's door slid shut around them did Eric finally lean down for a kiss.
Oh, God, the taste of Eric's mouth. Charles reached up, clutching at Eric's shoulders, trying to drag him down. The angle of the kiss was difficult, slanted, almost upside down, and yet that only made it more tantalizing, the way their lips wouldn't quite meet, the way their tongues didn't exactly fit. Panting into each other's mouths, Eric's hands working at the knot in Charles' tie, the sound of their breathing filling the elevator. And they tried to pull themselves together in case anyone else was in the hallway, but nobody was. Eric's apartment was as sparsely furnished as Charles had imagined it would be, but as he steered his way towards the back, he could see a bed, which was the only thing that mattered. Within a few moments, he was by the bedside, capable of pulling up onto it by himself, though this was one thing he didn't mind getting help with.
Here, Eric murmured. His hands went to the rails of Charles's chair, and with one flick, he had them down.
Competency kink? Check.
But even better was Eric slinging one leg over him so that he straddled Charles in the chair. And then Eric was in his lap, and they were in each other's arms, and they couldn't quit kissing long enough to do anything else. Charles's hands tugged up Eric's shirt, and they disentangled just long enough to pull the turtleneck away, exposing his muscular chest. And it wasn't like Charles had seen this before, not like he had daydreamed about him countless times. And yet being able to touch Eric, to run his hands along those ripples and planes, to brush his fingertips against a nipple, no dreams matched that. Eric got Charles's tie off, his shirt open. Charles fumbled at Eric's belt, then swore.
Getting naked takes too damn long.
Instead of replying, Eric rose from Charles's lap, pulling back, no doubt to remove his pants. But Charles hooked his fingers in Eric's belt loops, refusing to let him pull that far away just yet. Now that Eric was standing, Charles could easily bring his face to Eric's crotch, to see the long, hard outline beneath the fabric. He nuzzled Eric, running his cheek against his erection, then opening his mouth to scrape his teeth along it. Eric groaned as he tugged gently at Charles's hair, keeping him there as Charles got the pants open, took Eric out of his shorts, lips parting just at the sight of his cock. "Wait," Eric said. He pulled back and hurriedly began removing his clothes. Charles wanted to keep going, but maybe it made more sense to be in bed. Or maybe Eric still wasn't totally at ease with doing all the taking while Charles did all the giving. "This doesn't have to be perfect," Charles told himself as he hoisted his body onto the bed. He had to lift his calves up to slip off his shoes, and it was hard to concentrate on that with Eric stripping in front of him. "Just try." But as he struggled to get undressed, his attention shifted from Eric to himself. It had seemed like such an accomplishment back when he'd first figured out how to wriggle out of his slacks and boxers at the same time. Now it seemed graceless, the opposite of erotic, particularly when he contrasted it with the sight of Eric, finally naked before him. Eric was beautiful, so beautiful that for a moment, Charles could only think that this man couldn't possibly want him, that there was no way he could keep him. Yet Eric only stooped down for a kiss, then smoothly helped Charles out of his pants, not like an assistant, but like any lover eager for the touch of skin on skin. Charles felt shaky, and Eric picked up on it.
"Are you all right?"
"This is scary, letting you see me like this. I love you, and I want this, and it scares the shit out of me." It felt so good to admit it, to be with someone who could let him admit it.
"It's okay. Trust me. Let it go."
Eric tossed the pants onto a chair in the corner, even now, in the heat of the moment, keeping their discarded clothing off the floor, where it might impede Charles's wheelchair later on. He sat on the bed and drew Charles into his arms, across his lap, kissing fervently like Ronan's lovers. Then they were lying together in Eric's bed, Eric's body covering his, kissing and caressing Charles's fears away. It had been a long time since he'd been so aware of the highly muted quality of the sensation below his hips, how he wanted to feel more of Eric than a vague sense of weight and warmth. But Eric's mouth on his, the muscles of his back beneath Charles's hands, that was real, that was unchanged, and it was wonderful.
"What feels good?" Eric whispered. "Tell me."
"My nipples have become especially..." Charles arched his back as Eric sucked at him eagerly. For a few long moments, all he could do was hang on and try to keep breathing. Only when he felt as though the pleasure might turn into pain did he speak again.
"Earlobes, all so good."
Now Eric's mouth was at his ear, his chin against his throat, and the sound of his tongue against Charles was almost as sweet as the pleasure. But he was ready to take care of Eric. He reached for Eric's cock, tightened his fist gently around the head. Eric groaned. Charles whispered, "Come here." As Eric crawled along the length of Charles's body, Charles used the opportunity to lick his way down Eric's throat, to bite at a nipple, to push his tongue into the dip of his navel. Eric slid onto his knees, grabbing the headboard and bringing his cock to Charles's mouth at last. Charles opened his lips and greedily took him in. "Oh God, I miss this," he thought, "just the taste of it." But better yet was hearing Eric moan in satisfaction as he ran his tongue along the ridge, then began to suck. Charles knew he was giving Eric exactly what he wanted, what he needed, and it made him feel more powerful than he had ever imagined. He fondled Eric's balls, relishing their tightness against his palm, then slipped one finger into him, more teasing him at the rim than opening him up. Did Eric like fisting? Charles hoped so. It would be amazing to fuck him that way. It would be amazing to just fuck him out that way and hear what Eric sounded like then. But it couldn't be better than now, because Eric was pumping into Charles's mouth now, surrendering to what he wanted, moans almost turning into cries. He panted, I'm coming. Charles clamped his hand tighter around Eric's hip bone, refusing to let him pull back. With one final shout, Eric came, and Charles couldn't swallow and lick and take it in fast enough. Within moments, Eric had slumped next to him, and he kissed Charles's open mouth for a very long time. He put one palm against Eric's chest to feel the quickness of his heart and the hard rise and fall of his breath. I did this. I can be a lover to him. I really can. When their lips parted, Eric whispered, "That was incredible." "Uh-huh." He paused for one moment, then said, "Charles, are you sure?" "Yes, I'm sure. Not tonight." After this, Charles felt much more sure that he and Eric could play around, experiment. But as arousing as all this had been, his cock had remained limp and unmoved throughout. When they tried to make this mutual, he definitely wanted Viagra on his side. "We will, I promise. Soon. But tonight, this is perfect. It really is." "Yeah. Yeah." Charles had to laugh. "You know, I always heard women say that they didn't have to have an orgasm to enjoy sex. And I always thought that had to be total bullshit." Eric started laughing too. "But you know, they were right. They really were." Not that he wouldn't have given a lot to suddenly respond to Eric right this moment. But he wasn't going to think about what he couldn't do. Instead, he was going to enjoy what he could. "It's enough to be with you, to be this close." "I love you," Eric said, resting his head against Charles's shoulder. And in that moment, Charles wouldn't have wished for anything else. Eric woke in the middle of the night. Even in sleep, he had been aware of Charles's presence, his warmth. But waking to the conscious knowledge of Charles next to him made him grin even before he opened his eyes. He spread his hand along Charles's bare chest and was rewarded with a sleepy groan. "Not a dream." "Nope." More realistic concerns crept in then, and Eric hesitated. If he asked, would Charles think he was treating him as a patient? But no, they had to find a way to talk about Charles's needs in a practical way. "Need anything?" "I should turn over," Charles hesitated. "Actually, I should go to the bathroom and then turn over." "Do you want me to?" Eric caught himself. "I know you can handle it." But Charles didn't immediately turn toward his chair, which remained right by the edge of the bed. "I can handle it, yes. But, you know, eventually I'll be sick or will be visiting friends with a bathroom I can't get to on my own. And I really, really hate the idea of you having to take me to the toilet. So I think we'd better get past it now." "You want me to take you?" Charles looked almost grimly determined. "Yes." Eric found Charles's embarrassment almost baffling. Compared to the intensely intimate care he'd given his mother, walking Charles into the bathroom seemed like nothing. But he was gentle about it, lifting Charles up, taking him in, settling him down. "How long do you need?" "Usually only about 20 minutes. By paraplegic standards, I'm a champion." "Okay. Call if you need me." "I will," Charles said, somewhat faintly, but Eric felt sure Charles was already getting used to the idea. He went to the kitchen and poured them both glasses of water. For a few moments, he remained at the narrow kitchen window. At this hour, even in New York City, he was unlikely to be glimpsed naked by anyone on the street below. Eric had hardly noticed the view before, a sliver of the crosswalk shadowed with trees. If he shopped around, he could probably find a table small enough to fit in here and leave enough room for Charles's wheelchair. It was possible to imagine having coffee here, or running in with croissants from the bakery down the street. Eric had walked by that bakery hundreds of times and only gone in once to pick up a birthday cake for a coworker that he hadn't even taken a piece of himself. The croissants smelled amazing. Mental protests about gluten and carbs rose up, but that was silly. He wasn't particularly sensitive to gluten, and as much as he ran, some carb loading wouldn't be fatal. Besides, he liked the image of himself and Charles breakfasting here together, sharing coffee. The thought of treating Charles led naturally to the thought of pleasing him, which took him back to the fact that he hadn't brought Charles off tonight. While Eric understood Charles's reasoning, it was still difficult to act this way without feeling selfish, even heartless. But he also remembered the glow of happiness on Charles's face as they'd embraced afterward. Maybe this was okay for now. Maybe Eric could stop worrying so much about what Charles needed and listen to Charles about what he wanted. Eventually, they'd find their way, and maybe he could bring up the subject of those very interesting wedge pillows. Eric remained in his reverie until Charles called for him. Within a few moments, they were back in the bed. Charles now sprawled on his stomach. Mirroring his posture, Eric lay beside him, tangling their fingers. Charles murmured, "What time do you usually get up in the morning?" "An hour usually referred to as ungodly." Eric glanced at the clock. 3 hours from now, actually. "Oh, Lord, that's going to take some getting used to." How wonderful to think of getting used to each other. Eric rubbed his thumb along Charles's wrist. "Tell you what, tomorrow, just this once, I'll sleep in." He was in no hurry to leave his bed when Charles was in it.